American Auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, here we go with another Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com. Seattle Sports app, we're everywhere. And glad to be with you this morning. I wish it was a happier day. I wish we were here talking about how the Mariners, despite the Orioles winning, managed to lower that magic number into single digits, and they were all, you know, getting everything right with the world and heading towards the postseason. But that's not what happened yesterday at all. And so I find myself torn. Does anybody else find themselves torn? Maybe not. Maybe you're reacting emotionally.
Yeah, more emotional.
If we had had this show last night at 10 o'clock, 10:30, it would have been an ugly show. I'm really glad. Like, I used to do Mariner pre- and post-game shows years ago. I'm really glad I didn't have the post-game show last night. I was pretty mad.
Wouldn't have trusted yourself?
No, I mean, anybody who's a longtime Mariners post-game show listener knows about Matt Pittman, who once freaked out and started yelling at this caller named Don about how, you know, I didn't say it was Tacoma, Don, and he's honestly screaming at this poor guy, just out of frustration with where the Mariners were at in the moment. If that had been me last night, I would have had a, you know, it's not Tacoma, Don kind of a moment.
Yeah.
Because I was really mad. Last night was the first time in months that I have found myself actually angry after a Mariner game, because look, I know that baseball has ups and downs. I know that it has wins and losses. And for the most part, since what, end of June, right? They've been playing spectacular baseball overall. That doesn't mean they haven't had games that are frustrating, but they're not perfect. They're a good baseball team. And so for the most part, I've been kind of able to take the good with the bad and just like, all right, they're playing well overall. And then I know Brock was a little upset yesterday following the first game in Oakland, and I get it, but I wasn't too upset. The Orioles had lost. The magic number dropped to 10. You're like, well, okay, you're entitled. I know they had a couple of bad games in Anaheim as well, but you're entitled to lose the first game of a series in kind of a dead environment. All right, fine. Okay. But yesterday got me. It really did. There were just a couple of moments in that game that were incredibly frustrating, and probably none bigger than this cut three. This simply can't happen on September 21st.
Swanson, his pitch. Swung on, hit the other way. It's a fair ball rolling towards the corner. Winker racing over, picks it up around second base. Diaz seems into third. Winker drops it. He's being waved in. The cutoff throw by Frazier to home plate, not in time. Head first slide, safe as Diaz, and the A's are on the board. 1-0 Oakland.
Yeah, that one little line in there, Winker drops it. I mean, that's a ground ball that bounces off the wall, comes right to him. It goes right through his glove. I mean, right under his glove, through his legs. And he allows a run to score that ends up being the difference in the game. Look, I don't expect anybody to be perfect, but he's been far from it.
Right. Suboptimal.
Let's just be nice. I'm not here to rip Jesse Winker for 4 hours. He's not the only problem. This team's not hitting.
If you got on Twitter last night, you already saw a lot of that.
Well, and I was part of it. I mean, look, I get it. If you're a baseball manager, patience is a virtue. One of the hardest things, and we'll talk to Jerry Dipoto about this today, one of the hardest things about being a manager is knowing how long to be patient and when to pull the plug, right? You wait. And then finally, at some point, if you're not rewarded for your patience, you have to know when to pull the plug.
Right.
You ever play roulette?
A little bit.
I'm not a big roulette guy, but I, you know, when I first, you know, was in my 20s, when you first go to a casino or something, the first thing you do is play roulette because there's not a lot of thought
really
behind
simple,
it, right?
Yeah.
It's just entirely guessing. But you sit there, and in the Vegas casinos, they'll have like a board, like an electronic board that shows you the last, I don't know, 15, 20 numbers that have come up,
uh-huh.
Right? And so you'll see like, oh my God, there have been 10 reds in a row. I'm betting black, right? Because you convince yourself that even though it's 50-50, eventually it has to turn. And then it comes up red again. You're like, okay, well, it's got to be black next time. And then it comes up red again. You're like, well, it's got to be black next time. Yeah. And it comes up red again. You're finally like, okay, fine. I'm going to go with the crowd. Apparently red's the way to go. And then it comes up black. That's sort of, I feel like, where you're at with Jesse Winker, where you just keep running it out, looking at the track record, knowing that eventually it's going to turn, except that it's not turning. He's not hitting. He's not productive enough to make it worth the disaster that he's been in left field throughout the course of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to kill him for being a bad left fielder. He's a bad left fielder. He was a bad left fielder when they got him. But you could deal with it because he was a 900 OPS guy, not a 600 OPS guy. And so, you know, that balance, and I understand why Scott's been running him out. So I try to think along with the manager. Okay, be patient. But at some point, the patience has to run out. And it's done. It's done for me. I don't think I could let him back in the outfield outside of, you know, an emergency situation right now.
Yeah.
Whether it's Haggerty or now Kelnick back up. Taylor Trammell, I know they just sent him back down, but that would have been a better option for me. At some point, you just have to recognize kind of where you're at. And so, yeah, yesterday was frustrating. The bats are silent. You get just a little hiccup from your bullpen, which has been perfect. Robbie Ray was tremendous, and for everybody who wanted Robbie Ray off the playoff roster or whatever, I don't know. He looked pretty good last night, kind of doing his thing. But I also find myself, you know, on the other hand, looking at some of the texts that come in during a baseball game, because I can see them in the morning when I come in. Oh, my God.
Flames.
Oh, my God.
Easy way to put it.
I mean, yeah. Yet another wasted season that has been floundered away by a bad head coach and a team that doesn't know how to finish. The Mariners need to go 8-4 to get to 90 wins to match last season. This team is not equal to last year. They're going to miss the playoffs yet again. Well, if you don't mind, Patrick in Tacoma, who texted in at 10:30 last night, they don't have a head coach. They've got a manager. They don't have, can't go 8-4 because they've got 14 games left to play, not 12. And in all likelihood, they are going to make the playoffs because they have 12 games left to play, or 14 rather, and because the Orioles are running out of time. The magic number is still 10.
Yeah.
The fact that these last couple of games have been incredibly aggravating does not negate everything this team has accomplished this season. 2-5-3. Please tell me this team isn't going to choke away getting into the playoffs between the recent injuries to the only guys that can hit the ball, complete lack of scoring offense, and Winker's awful fielding. My confidence in this team is fading fast. My frustration has grown, I will say, but I don't know if my confidence has faded. Service needs to go, says the 206 at 9:30. He can't manufacture any runs. He sits in his hands waiting for a 3-run home run. Get rid of him. Well,
what is he supposed to do?
I mean, that's what this offense is built on. It's not that he can't. That's not their organizational philosophy. How about this one? You like this one? This came in at 9:30 also. Service, you moron. When are you going to get it that Ty France is a double play waiting to happen? Never let this guy hit late in the game with a guy on first.
Oh, wow.
So, look, there are appropriate reactions, and anger, I think, is absolutely warranted today. Frustration, for sure.
Yes.
A little bit of nagging concern about the postseason happening, yes. Some real concern that if you don't turn it around soon, you'll get to the postseason and not do anything, yeah, I have that concern right now today as well. But I hope that it's also balanced with a little bit of memory, a little bit of hope, a little bit of confidence based on what your pitching staff has done this year, based on what this team has accomplished so far this year, based on some of the long-term projection for Julio and the rest of this group and what they're capable of long-term.
Yeah.
They're not perfect.
No. We all know that. But this 21 years of it, it's hard to just ignore that and be like, well, we've had a pretty good season. We should shelve our frustrations.
I don't expect anybody to shelve their frustration. You should be frustrated today. But I hope that there's a part of you that is able to at least kind of remember why you're in this position to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? This is a pretty good team. It's a pretty good baseball team that's played pretty good baseball over the course of this season as a whole. They started slow. They've played fantastic ball since July 1st. And they've stumbled a little bit here down the stretch as a couple of injuries have gotten them, which has kind of been their issue throughout the year. They need to get it together because, as Scott said the day before, the rest of the league doesn't care that you're hurt. The rest of the league doesn't care. And you're going to have to find a way to fight through all that stuff. So I'm mad today, too. I'm not here lecturing anybody who's mad, who's frustrated, etc. Jesse Winker cannot play left field again. Not for a little while. I know Kelnick's going to play today. That was already predetermined. But I don't know. I mean, at this point, I don't see what the value is with Haggerty and Moore and Kelnick and others on your bench. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I don't see how you can run him back out there for a little while. I would have considered the mid-inning switch yesterday.
Wow.
And I would have. I was that mad. Yeah. That's why I'm not a baseball manager and Scott is. Because really, you can only do that for a bad mental play, not a bad physical one. Right? And I don't know that that was a bad mental play. I don't know that that was mental. He didn't throw to the wrong base. He didn't dog it. There wasn't a lack of hustle. Those things are get out right now. You want to not hustle out there? You go sit on the bench. But I didn't see a lack of hustle, right? It's a physical mistake, so you probably can't yank him. But God, did I want to. God, did I ever want to say, you know what, dude? I can't do it anymore. Go sit on the bench. And everybody has that feeling. I know I'm not alone. That's why Scott has his job, and the rest of us have ours. All right, coming up, we'll give you everything you need to know. It's not just frustration. We'll tell you why Jared Kelnick is here. And then KJ Wright coming up here in 20 minutes. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I'll tell you, it's been a while since a Mariner loss made me actually mad. In the moment. Frustrated? Sure, of course. All losses do. But mad? Not until last night. That had all the qualities, man. Horrific hitting, weak double plays in key spots, another lousy defensive play in left field by Jesse Winker that unfortunately led to the winning run, all against an opponent that you just really shouldn't be good enough to take a series against you at this time of year. I know managing a baseball team's a funny business. It's all about patience. But also, you got to know when that patience has run out, and true of the way this team has been playing, and also of Jesse Winker in left field. I don't know how much more patient you can be with him out there. Scott Servais, not wild about that play last night.
You know, it's not a difficult play. You know, the ball's off the wall, catch it, get it in. I wasn't able to do that. You know, it's something that, you know, we'll continue to look at, and you know, Jesse's played in the league a long time. It has been a struggle for him recently. And, you know, where we're at in the season, and, you know, we have made defensive replacements late in games, and we do have a lead. We didn't do it. There was, you know, it was a 0-0 game there late, and you know, it's a play that typically should be met.
Yeah, that's manager speak for I'm seething mad, I'm furious right now, and I'm going to do my best to cover for my player, not embarrass him, not throw him completely under the bus. But I don't see how Jesse can be out there forgetting about defensive replacements. He's not doing anything offensively. The bat's got to justify the glove, and it hasn't. The glove has gotten worse, as Scott mentioned there as well. So curious to see where that goes as well. I said he probably shouldn't have been in there yesterday. So Orioles win. The magic number remains at 10 with 14 games left to play. They got a matinee in Oakland this afternoon, 1 o'clock, as they look to salvage one game in this series. George Kirby will have the honors. He goes against Adrian Martinez, who's got an ERA of nearly 6. So please, for the love of God, hit the ball.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
There was also a big roster move day yesterday. The Mariners did bring back Jared Kelnick and Luis Torrens. Taylor Trammell sent down. Jake Lamb DFA'd to make room. Torrens is kind of an easy one, right? Raleigh's dealing with his thumb injury. Casale's hit not at all and is also about to go on paternity leave for a couple of days. So they need another catcher. But obviously the story, the big story, is Kelnick. who's absolutely crushed AAA pitching this year. But, as we all know, he has struggled to hit in his multiple stints in the big league. So, a few things that are important here. One, he's only 23 years old, almost 3 years younger than Cal Raleigh, younger than Dustin Ackley was his rookie year. So there's definitely still time for him to figure it out. Two, he's obviously incredibly talented. That hasn't changed. Three, he can run. He can play defense. Think that has any value after watching last night, especially since Jesse Winker struggles so badly with both parts of the game, and he's just not hitting enough to make up for it. I think we've covered that. And then finally, look, he's got to make more contact, right? His K rate was down during his last stint in Tacoma. Hopefully he's made some improvement there, and with games coming up here against some bad teams, A's, Royals, Rangers, Tigers, he's going to get some chances to hit mediocre pitching. So Scott explains what we should expect out of Jared.
Yeah, he's cleaned up a few things, and you know, in his last couple stints with us, you know, constantly trying to make adjustments to find it. I just think the most consistent hitters are in this game are the ones who have the least amount of movement. It's really hard to have the big leg kick and time it up perfectly, especially when you're a young player. If you're an older player and you've got a couple thousand at-bats under your belt, a little bit easier to make those adjustments, but trying to keep it simple, and that's what he looks like he's done. You know, again, just going off video and getting reports what's going on down there, but like I said, he'll get a chance to play. He will probably not play every day for us, but it will mix him in and give us opportunity to give guys a break. And he plays good defense. He runs the base as well. He can do some things at the plate, so he can help.
Yeah, and I think he could help as soon as today. I don't know. I had hopes that he was going to help last night. I'm excited about that. The one kind of interesting, well, maybe two other interesting pieces here. One, Taylor Trammell has not been that bad. I mean, the guy's got a 750 OPS in limited time. He's got an on-base percentage over 300. I mean, he's done some things, so a little surprised to see that he hadn't been used in even more than he had. And then Jake Lamb just unfortunately didn't work. And you look at what Jerry did at the deadline, the pitching has worked out, obviously. Boyd's been good and Castillo's been tremendous. The hitting, not so much.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Pretty busy injury report for the Seahawks, though. Not too many serious issues. Biggest question mark maybe Quandre Diggs, who did miss practice because of his knee. Kind of goes without saying that they need him. Shelby Harris also missed practice as he's got a glute problem, and he's also dealing with a family situation, so he was away from the team. Not sure exactly what's going on with Darrell Taylor. He was, you know, the edge rusher who's supposed to have a breakout year. This is his sophomore season of actually playing, but man, the first two games have been anything but. Pete Carroll trying to figure out the best way to take advantage of his talents.
He's learning. I think we're adjusting, you know, in this early part of the season, we're trying to figure out how best to use our guys and, you know, proportionally rushing versus playing on early downs and stuff like that. So we're working at that. He can do everything, you know, and we particularly like him as a rusher coming off the edge because of his speed and all that. So we're learning. He's learning. We're learning.
Well, hopefully he learns up quick because that's a position they really need to get some value out of, and they really haven't had much of it just yet. Pete said that Boye Mafe would get more playing time as the season goes on. Curious to see at whose expense that comes. It's everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour here on Brock and Salk, the new Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710. Want to mention this hour is powered by Pro Club. The best thing about the Brock and Salk show so far for me has nothing to do with Brock or Salk. It's all been KJ Wright.
Yeah.
God, he's good.
He's really, really good at this.
He's really, really good.
Wednesdays are very fun.
They really are. They go so quickly, and he's entertaining. He's brutally honest. He is insightful. He takes you inside, not just the locker room now, but the locker room in the glory years. It really is a cool hour. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, you can go download the whole thing, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. But we'll give you a big section of it next because KJ, his reaction to what's going on in Denver and then bringing it back here to Seattle, it's unparalleled, man. You got to hear it. It's coming up. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, we do have a chance for you guys to win tickets, but you have to have been listening. We're not just giving this away to anybody. You got to have been listening to KJ here for the last little while. So we got tickets to see the Seahawks and Falcons this Sunday at Lumen Field. I'll be there. You know who I'm bringing, Brock? My kids.
Nice. Taking my kids to the game this weekend. Kind of excited about that. My wife is, of course, skipping town, so I am going to.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah,
watch your mouth, Salk. No, she doesn't. You have summer of Salk.
I know she leaves.
You have 3 weeks all to yourself. No, golf twice a day.
That's true.
Jeez.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that she is leaving again. She's going with her friends to have some fun. So I got the kids.
He's salty.
I'm not salty. I think she should. I'm, not jealous or salty at all. It's totally fine.
Before we get to the debacle in Denver and what's happening there with her old friend and everything else, I do want to ask you this just football question, KJ, and you can, just lay it out. Mm-hmm. Clint Hurt, first time D coordinator, first time play caller on that side of the ball, mm-hmm. was very clear this offseason. I think he even joined Salk and talked about how aggressive this defense was going to be. Here was Clint Hurt this summer.
One thing that is going to be significantly different this year, we are going to be aggressive. We want that. The aggressiveness is going to have to come from our guys up front getting after the passer. Continuing on being strong in the run game like we have been in the last few years, but we want to be, that's the mentality of the defense that we want to have. And our players respond to that, with that mentality. Obviously that comes into one, how you coach it, and two, how you call it. So the aggressiveness and attacking offenses, but at the same time, challenging the quarterback, all right, and making it hard on him, not just with our rush, but also with coverage, is where we're going to be. And that's where we want to make big improvements at.
Kind of like a baseball team that doesn't hit. It's hard sometimes to see how aggressive they are, their mindset. Yep. And when their tackling is a struggle, it's been all preseason, first two games. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take it out of the mindset, and I'm going to take it more to the calling of the game. Just the schematic calling. Do you see them being more aggressive this season?
Yeah, because here's the thing. When I hear the word aggressive, I hear blitzing, and I hear getting the D lineman on stunts versus the run game. Right. And the only person that I see doing a stunt during the game is Chinna. He's the only one that I see crashing into that C gap, getting movement, timing up the snap count to get penetration. He's the only one I see doing that. And when you talk about blitzing, I do believe that he is blitzing. I do believe that he's calling stuff, but the thing is, it's predictable blitzes. Mm. It's 3rd and 7. You know it's coming. And even then on the touchdown to that tight end, they blitz on that play. And when you blitz, your guys have to be on point to cover on the back end. And so is he being aggressive? He can be better with the D-line stunts. But blitzing, I want to see some 2nd and 9. Some after a run, I see some 2nd and 9. Let's blitz here. Not the predictable blitzes when everyone knows.
You have to get him to 2nd and 9 first, though, by the way. You got to stop him on first down.
And how much of that comes down to just as Pete's got to trust the tackles, these rookie tackles. He said as much at his presser Monday. Mm-hmm. Got to trust these rookie tackles. I got to let Geno go. I got to let him be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. How much of that from a defensive play calling standpoint is trusting your rookie corners?
Yeah, here's the thing. You want to find a way to take pressure off those guys. You want to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback so that does take pressure off the corners. The ball needs to come out quick. Right, you got Mike Jack, you got Willen out there. The ball needs to start coming out way quicker so they can be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And so if you start dialing it up, it creates stuff. Like something's going to happen, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Something's going to happen. And so you don't want to just sit back and just, be on your heels. You want to get these guys attacking. I'm looking for Jordan Brooks. I don't think he's had a blitz. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen him like I've seen Cody Barton. Mm-hmm. But you saw Cody got a sack against Russell.
Yep.
I saw him blitz a few times with San Fran, but I need to see Jordan Brooks get going because he has the physical capabilities. But if he's just sitting back there taking on linemen every play, you're not using his skill set to the best of his ability.
You like Woolen?
I love Woolen. And I love Mike Jack, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's played pretty well.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the foundation is very good. And both those corners have played pretty good. I'm looking at Kobe Bryant, and he's learning. He's in that nickel. First of all, let everyone understand this. The nickel spot is not an easy position to play. You're out there in space. You got to make a lot of open field tackles. You're going against a slot receiver who can run option routes on you. The nickel spot position is challenging. And so he has to grow. He has to develop. He has to make those plays when they come to him. And so he's going to be good. But right now, it's a learning curve for him.
Did you figure out what they're doing in the red zone yet? You said last week you were going to figure it out. So you couldn't get it out of Sherm either, huh?
Nope. I need to go watch the All 22. I just got the NFL Plus package or whatever. Yep. Yeah, so I got to pay for film now. But I'm on the other side. I got to pay to watch film.
That's an insult right there.
I know. So I need to go and watch the actual film to see what they're doing. Never had to pay for film a day in my life.
How upsetting is that? Film was something you had to do. Now you got to pay for it.
No, I'm on the other side now. It comes with the territory.
That's really funny.
It's all good.
Hey, speaking of the other side, have you ever heard anything like what we all saw and heard in Denver over the weekend? So Russell, first of all, booed by his home crowd in addition to his old home crowd. Mm. And then after a couple more delay of game calls, the crowd decided to try to help, I guess.
With the fans counting down the play clock, Wilson stumbles, goes down, gets back up, and now he's taken down.
Wow. Wow.
You ever heard that?
I've never heard that. They're counting down. Who's counting down? I remember in the NBA, they count down for Giannis when he shoots his free throws.
The opposing crowd.
The opposing team.
Right.
Not your home team telling you to get a snap off before it hits zero.
Right.
That's a reflection of, once again, of the play caller. Get the play out. Call the play. It's right there in front of your face. Just call a play. And that's a reflection of the quarterback. Hey, we need this. We practice this. This is chemistry. Mm. This is a chemistry thing that we need to get better at. And so that is very embarrassing. She's getting booed twice and, you know, home and away. That's not good.
So help me. So for years, I would get on the Seahawks coaching staff for all of the wasted timeouts in the second half. I thought it was ridiculous. Issues getting the play call in, burn timeouts and stuff that you really need in close games in the second half. So far this year, the Seahawks haven't burned timeouts. They have not had delay of game calls.
Okay.
And those have traveled to Denver, where both of those things have happened. Have I been wrong all these years in blaming the coach? Is it more on the quarterback?
It's a combination. No. It's a combination of both.
Okay.
It's a combination of both. First of all, take it from a defensive standpoint. Sometimes the offense will be lined up, about ready to snap the ball, and we don't even have a play. And we're sitting there looking to the sideline. We're looking at Bobby like, what's the play? Give me the play. And so the play has to come out. The play has to come from the play caller. And you look at Hackett. He has to manage the whole game. He has to call the plays. He has to know when to challenge. He has to know the situation. So he has a lot on his plate. Mm-hmm. But, man, this is football. This is the pros. If it's too much, then get out the kitchen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, hand the responsibility to someone else. And so it's pretty, I'm not going to say embarrassing, but this is not good. It's not good enough. You got to be efficient. You got to be smooth, because you have a talented offense, but if you don't use them to their capability, it can continue to get ugly.
How's the locker room handle that, KJ, from your experience? I love, we played that Pete sound and you're like, yeah, Pete, that's tell the truth. That's accountability. Mm-hmm. That's taking ownership of it. When you had some challenges with that, and you would see that as a team, and you knew, hey, man, coaches kind of blew this. They didn't get the call in, called the wrong call. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get a punt returner out on 4th and 13 and had to call their last time out.
How's the locker room handle that?
It's all depending on what's the message on Tell the Truth Monday. What is this coach saying? Is he saying, guys, I got to do better? I got to do a better job. Or is he like, guys, you know, this player needs to be out here. We got to get the ball out. No, we starting with you. Tell us where you have to get better at as a head coach, because everything starts from the top down, and then we can go from there. So whatever message Hackett is preaching to the team, if he's saying, I got to do better, they can have his back.
Well, here's a little of Hackett talking to the media.
When it comes to Russell and I, you know, I think it's just going to be a continual growing process. You know, it's all about Russ. You know, want to be sure that he's comfortable and he's feeling good and I'm getting the play as fast as I can to him. And we want to do what's right for him.
Man, do what's right for the what? Do what's right to win the ball game. Russ is an 11-year Super Bowl champ. He can handle whatever you throw at him. Don't coddle this man. I hear a lot of coddling in that press conference. Russ is a grown man who has a lot of experience. If you want to babysit him, you're doing this team a disservice. You're doing this team a big disservice. And so you're talking about we want to do what's right for him. What?
It's all about him.
It's all about Russ.
Oh no! Did he say that?
Yeah, it's the second thing he said there. Yeah, that was to me
KJ.
That's what the cut is labeled.
It's all about
when it comes to
Russ.
Russell and I. You know, I think it's just going to be a continual growing process. You know, it's all about Russ. You know?
That's so bad. That's so bad, Russell. I'm at a loss for words. I'm never at a loss for words, but man, this is really bad. And you look at everything from a holistic standpoint. Is he a high maintenance guy? Is he a high maintenance guy? Someone you have to have. You have to have this. You have to have that. You have to have your massage therapist in there. You have to have your team there. You get on the bus late. Whatever it is, are you a high maintenance guy that we have to put above the team? And if that is, that's very frustrating from those Denver Broncos players, because they had Peyton Manning there. And I'm sure that he was smooth, easygoing. But if you come in for a guy that needs all of this, that's freaking annoying. Well,
Brock, you played with Peyton. Was he smooth and easygoing?
Peyton was unbelievably intense, KJ, but he sat right with the lineman. His locker was right in the middle of the lineman, and it was never – he was never bigger than anybody else. He didn't have any of his own people, and he didn't have his own operation in. I mean, this is kind of the danger to me. I said this. You talked about human nature a bunch in that game in San Francisco. This is the danger of, like, human nature run wild. Yeah. You can't make it about one guy.
Absolutely not.
And that's not healthy for Russell either.
And I'm doing my best because I played with the dude. I loved him. But, man, if you just make this about you, what can I get out of it? Your boys won't love you. Your boys won't respect you. And at the end of the day, they won't even play hard for you. You got to just be one with the people. I always say this. You got to be one with the people, right? Just be cool. Be easygoing. I saw him screaming the other day, run past and, like, belligerent. Like, bro, this isn't Pop Warner football. What are we doing here? This isn't Pop Warner high school JV football. I could tell if it's a run or a pass.
Well, did he ever do that in Seattle?
Hey,
sideline, run a pass. Hey, you got to let him know. Come on, commit to it. You got to let him know. Run a pass. Let's go. Got to let him know. Run a pass. Run a pass. Let him know. 9-6. Let him know. Run a pass. Let him know. Run a pass. Nice and loud. Pass.
The fact that they screamed it after he screamed it is hilarious to me. It's like, I get saying it. Hey, tell him. Hey, guys, run a pass. Hey, if you see something, say something. But to be on 1,000, to be belligerent, to be that aggressive, like, hey, bro, I heard you the first time. You don't got to keep coming screaming at me.
If he had done that in Seattle, who would have answered that?
If he did in Seattle, I would have heard him. Like, Russ, I was like, I hear you, bro, I got you. But if you keep saying it, like, bro, I got you. Like, we got you. Relax.
It feels like there are some guys who are on your defense that wouldn't have handled that particularly nicely.
Well, there's the thing. He wouldn't have said it there. He wouldn't have said it.
He just couldn't.
There's too many alphas. There's too many guys.
Right.
And we're good enough to we don't need your help, Sam, if it's running past. So there would be no need for that. And you just tell that he was just getting outside of his element. He wanted the game really bad. Mm. And I felt like he was reaching. Mm. Like, bro, you're reaching with this, bro. You just get the ball in the end zone. We can handle our part.
You ever see him angry?
Russ don't get angry.
Yeah.
No, Russ, like mad. Like, no, Russ don't get angry. He gets fired up. He gets, you know, when you make a big play, but getting mad and angry, like cussing and snapping, no, that's not
Russ. You ever seen any other teammates angry? Sorry.
I've seen a handful of guys. I've seen
Did
a handful.
Do you ever get angry? You don't strike me as a guy who gets angry very often either.
Man, one of my I do get angry. One of my lowest moments as a player, and I was so stupid. I broke my foot the year we won the Super Bowl, and I threw my helmet. But usually you throw your helmet down. Mm. I threw my helmet up.
Ooh.
And I hit somebody.
A teammate?
No, it was an athletic trainer.
Sheesh.
Yeah, that was I do get mad, and that was a real stupid low moment for me. So I do get angry. I do get mad. I remember when I tore my knee, and I just went there and just started punching and just screaming, kicking. So I do get mad.
Yeah. Hey, a personal question. Okay, you know, it's our third time doing this, so we can kind of stretch it a little
deeper. Call him Kenneth when you ask him a personal question.
No, I won't do that. I won't call him Ken either.
Thank you.
What was it like fighting Father Time?
It was real. It was real. And the older I got, the better I had to get in taking care of my body. I had to work like triple overtime to take care of myself. I had to do stuff every single day. Whether it's acupuncture, I got 3 massages a week in my last year there. I got acupuncture. I got in the cold tub twice a week. I got stretched. I did yoga on Tuesdays. I had to do literally everything to be ready to go. And I just got stiff. I just my hips were tight, ankles were tight. So I had to work overtime to make sure that I was prepared and ready to go on.
And I asked that because, I mean, we have watched Russell. Salk and I have watched every snap. We've watched more of Russell just as people on the air and such with such intensity as I would argue just about anybody has watched Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And we're watching him right now, and he's not running. He's not exploding. He's not getting out. He's run, I think, two times for 5 yards in these first two games. And, you know, I am just curious, and they're asking in Denver, they think, well, he's just got to get in shape. You know, he was on the private plane a lot, and he got his deal. And I'm like, I don't think it's about being in shape nor work ethic. I think it is fighting father time. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair characterization from what your eyes have seen the first couple of weeks?
Because how old is he? He's 30.
He'll be 34. He'll be 34 in November.
Yeah. 34, and that's the number. Is it really the number is over 30? When really the number is over 30, they start looking at you funny. And absolutely, he's made a lot of money back in his early years by scrambling, running, being Houdini, magical with the football, escaping a lot of sacks with his legs. And so that's the Russell that we all love. That's a rough we all knew. And if he cannot do that, his game is going to have to change. He's going to have to beat teams from the pocket. And the question is, can he do that?
What's your favorite Russ play? I mean, we've sort of bagged on Russ a little bit over the last few weeks, but some of it's a little unfair. What is your favorite play you ever saw Russ make?
Favorite play Russ made, the first play to come to my mind is in Arizona. He escaped Chandler Jones, spinning around, and just threw the ball up. And we're looking like, man, what this man doing? And Doug Baldwin made a phenomenal catch and almost got to the end zone. That's one of them. And just really any time that he just stood back there, scrambled, and just made all these kind of crazy plays.
Vikings playoff game, right, with the dropped snap that he ended up scrambling and then got it to lock it.
Slid and threw it. He's made so many phenomenal plays.
Yeah.
But he just did something. You look at NFL history. NFL history, there's nobody more spectacular than him when it comes to keeping a play alive, making guys miss, and making a big play downfield.
Yeah, there's a couple other. It's funny when you start thinking. I mean, Russ really had some unbelievable moments here in Seattle. The play where he rolled to his left against, I think it was the Chiefs, and then hit Lockett on the sideline.
That was the Rams. Yep. Thursday Night Football.
With the green jerseys, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great play. There's one on Monday night in Washington where he scrambled around and then hit Marshawn. That is one of my favorite plays. Like, just there really were some remarkable, incredible moments for Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. But the question is, Mike, in the bet that the Seahawks made,
I wasn't going to give a but. I was just being nice to Russell.
Okay,
yeah, jump in.
But the bet the Seahawks made was,
yeah, those aren't happening anymore.
Correct.
He's got six rushing yards in two games.
So correct. You're saying, Brock, what you're saying is that they struck once again with the Sherms, the KJs, the Goldens, that they got it right as far as timing and
it
moving
seems
on.
Like it.
That's the bet. And Salk put out a little poll, okay, that kind of alludes to that, right? And I don't know if you got the most recent numbers up as we kind of poll the audience here. The Seahawks made the bet that we can't invest $250 million and $165 million guaranteed. That level of playmaking, that level of athleticism, that battle with Father Time is still going to exist for the next
4,100 people have voted. 82% say the Seahawks dodged a bullet more so than the Seahawks miss Russ.
And are they being extremely biased?
Yes, of course. They're fans. Of course they're being extremely biased. Yeah.
But we got to make that bet. We got to have an opinion. Like, we got to land on one side or the other. And would you, if that was your paycheck and you're the owners and the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, are you betting, KJ, that he is going to, that right now they're just, hey, it's a learning curve. We're going to play between the tackles. I'm going to protect my body, but I still have that card in my back pocket. And if and when I need to play it for the next 2 to 3 years, I can still extend plays and be the wizard, as you said, outside the pocket.
Because even, Brock, you saw it in the last year. So I believe that when you look at Seattle, I do believe that they got this one right. From another few standpoints, not even the physical standpoint, from another few dynamic team standpoints. And so they signed him, what, 5 more years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. And gave up a lot of draft picks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's we'll see how it all plays out. But as of right now, he gave up a lot for a guy that's 33. Phenomenal quarterback, don't get me wrong, but you gave a lot of draft picks, a lot of money to even pay other guys on your team.
Remind me next week that we need to talk to you. I want to talk about the year Russ hurt his leg because and threw from the pocket and played through it. And he had the high ankle sprain, played through the whole thing. It's pretty tough what he did, but he did win from the pocket. He did win that way. He did win without running. I got to make sure I ask you about that next week. Mm-hmm. You did say, I'd like to read you some of your fan mail here.
And we're going to have an Ask KJ hashtag in the weeks ahead. Whoa. You can text in. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. We're going to have Brandon Mebane at some point if he's up.
Mebane will say
good. And we're going to do a hashtag Ask KJ to involve some of you out there too.
There are so many of these. God, I love KJ's perspective. KJ's the freaking best. KJ and Salk would be a great show. Sheldon Richardson's officially on blast. hey, KJ, poutine is what Al Woods dips his Pop-Tarts in. I don't know about that. KJ just makes this show right. Anyway, there's just a few of the, but you got this. I see if you can guess who sent this to me and you on Twitter. I know you haven't looked yet. Mm-hmm. Hey, Seattle Sports and Mike Salk, I need more KJ Wright. 1 hour isn't enough. Now, you know, I won't say you know this person, but you know who this is.
I'm going to guess Blitz.
Whoa. Did you look at your phone? Did you cheat?
Hey, man. My Spidey. I just know things.
You just know you and Blitz are on the same page?
My phone has been over here the whole time. My phone's been over here the whole time.
Yeah, Blitz is a P1. Blitz listens. He likes us.
So you and Blitz are close.
That's my guy.
I can see that. That makes sense. You like Blitz more than Tama the Hawk?
Who?
The Hawk. The actual Hawk that flies.
I just met Tama the first time.
Tama? Is that Tama?
Monday night. That was my first time ever touching her and meeting her.
So
she's my profile picture.
Oh. So who do you like better? Say it right now. Who do you prefer? Blitz or the Hawk?
We said we weren't going to do this to him and put him on the spot.
You were on the spot, KJ. Blitz or the Hawk?
Blitz is my guy.
What about Boom? Do you care about Boom?
I don't even know who Boom is.
Nah, it's all right. Boom's not very
Can relevant. We just say thank you for KJ for bringing Chick-fil-A for the whole week this morning?
I was going to try to end it like that, too. This is what Salk does.
Yeah.
I brought her by Chick-fil-A trying to get Brian points.
Nicest guy ever.
Put thank KJ you. On the spot with the hard questions like Tama or Blitz. KJ, thank you. We'll do it next week.
You guys can
listen to this whole thing online if you missed even a moment of it. Go to seattlesports.com. Go to the Seattle Sports app. Go to Apple Podcasts. The whole deal and go download it. All right, KJ, thank you. We'll talk next week.
Let's do it. There.
How much fun is that, man? KJ is tremendous. And I don't know. It seemed like he was maybe trying to skirt the tough questions at the end. What do you think? You kind of let him off the hook, Justin.
I'm sorry. We had to go.
Yeah.
He gives a really, really fascinating peek behind the curtain of eras.
Right.
Football. It's great.
It really is a cool thing. So already looking forward to next week. And maybe we'll see if we can figure out that Brandon Mebane thing, too, because it'd be fun to have KJ on with some of his old teammates, kind of hear them talking together. All right. Brock will join us next. He was losing his mind yesterday over the first loss in Oakland. How will Brock be feeling today? Will he even be able to make it into work? We'll find out next.